Let's take our copy of God's Word and go to Philippians chapter 4. This is the 17th lesson in this series called The King is Coming. And this is not in the book of Revelation, as you can tell, but this is another lesson to help us in what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be doing knowing the King is coming? What do we do about that? And I pray that God will help us as we journey through several passages of Scripture. We will be looking at many tonight. I'll give you that warning and praying that God's word again speaks to your heart and mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. God's word reads, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men," and this is the theme of tonight, "the Lord is at hand." The Lord is at hand. The message A title is called The Christian's Watchword. The Christian's Watchword, and that is our watchword. The Lord is at hand. This is obviously written by the Apostle Paul. It was written to the early Christians. So this means that these early Christians in Philippi also were already, Christ had only been in heaven for maybe hundreds of years, maybe not even quite that long. I don't have all the numbers right now. But here they are, and they're saying, if Paul is saying, the Lord is at hand. What is this telling them? It's telling that the Lord is returning. And they're already living in light of the Lord's return. And we're going to see this expression several times in our Bible tonight and how it applies to us in 2026. But let's look at a couple of things. Let's look at verse 6. And here are three suggestions that I would like to make regarding the Lord is at hand in this particular one. And then we're going to look at some other things as well. Paul says, be careful for nothing. This is the first thing he said. The Lord is at hand. So what is he saying? Let's not worry. Let's not worry. They were not going through an easy time, by the way. This was a very challenging time. They were persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Paul is saying, be careful for nothing. This is no time to worry. And it doesn't matter if it's Philippi or New Westminster. It's still not a good time to worry. By the way, worry is not from God. Worry is from the enemy. Worry is from my flesh. It's not of the Lord. When I worry, I don't trust. The writer of Proverbs, that famous verse said, trust in the Lord every once in a while. Is that what it says? And that's the wrong version. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not even part of your heart. All of your heart. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Look, God never said you and I would understand everything. You know, things happen. I don't understand. But I cannot allow things to take me to worry. Whatever happens, I should say, God, I don't really understand this, but I trust that you are good. I trust that your plan is better than my thoughts and my plan. So he says, first, be careful for nothing. This is no time to worry. Then, let's keep reading. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Nothing that comes into your life or comes into my life causes God to worry. God doesn't worry. God is in control. And so as I'm not worrying, then I need to, praise God, we have this, take whatever it is in my heart, take whatever it is in your heart, and as he says here, take it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Let your requests be made known unto the Lord. I'm sure tonight we all have these kind of requests. I'm sure we have some things that are going on in our life that we need God's hand in. We need God to do the work that we cannot do. Here's a great promise. Because the Lord is at hand, don't worry. Because the Lord is at hand, take everything to the Lord. Then notice what he says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, notice, with thanksgiving. We're supposed to give thanks in everything. This is God's will, by the way. Would you go with me to 1 Thessalonians? Hold your finger in Philippians. Go back a few pages. Mark this verse in your Bible if you haven't already. It's right before the Timothys. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you found it, say amen. If you're still looking, say oh my. It's okay. It's all right if you're still looking. I know that sounds like I'm making fun. I'm not. It's okay. You got it? Let's read it out loud together. We won't read. We'll just start reading with the word in. We won't say the chapter and verse. Ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Read it with me. Ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you. It is the will of God that we give thanks. It's not option. You know, we want to know, what is God's will? Well, there's a lot of things we have to wait, and we have to, you know, wait on the Lord to find out certain things, but there are several things in the Bible clearly laid out. This is one of them. It is God's will that we be thankful. Because the Lord is at hand, give thanks. Don't worry about it. Take these things to the Lord. Give thanks. It is the will of God. An attitude of thanksgiving, whether life is easy or difficult, we ought to have it. Whether we have or don't have, whatever we think we need to have, be thankful because God is faithful. God is good. The Lord is at hand. Okay, let's look at three times where we see this. All right, take your Bible again, and let's go to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter number 13. Mark 13. And we're going to read verse 33. Kind of building on even some of the stuff that we've just talked about. Mark 13, 33. All right, here we go. I'll read it. You follow along. Take heed. What does that mean? There you go. That's exactly what I have written in my Bible. Pay attention. Pay attention. Have you ever had to say that to anybody in your life? Has anybody ever told you that in your life? Okay, let's be honest. We've said it, and it's been said to us. That's exactly what God says here. Pay attention. Pay attention about what? Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. So, because the Lord is at hand, his coming is soon. Number one, we need to be prayerful. Be a people of prayer. We need to be paying attention, and we need to be praying. I want to say tonight that the great need, maybe it's the greatest need. I got to be careful. We got to be careful about making statements like that. But possibly the greatest need of every believer is a deeper and more faithful prayer life. Maybe it's for all of us. I don't know. I'm not going to make a blanket statement. But I would say it includes a lot of us. And part of being ready for the Lord's return, because the Lord is at hand, is this thought of paying attention and being prayerful. If you've read the gospel records, you will know this. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, on many occasions took time to pray. Now, think about it. This is God. This is God's Son. In a sense, did he need to pray? I don't know if he needed to pray. Maybe he did because he did have a human body. But I'm just saying, his point of praying, in the way I look at it, is it may be his need, yes, but I think greater than that was for you and I to have an example. You know, when life got really busy for the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, okay, guys, time to go up in the mountain and pray. Guys, I want to have you go across the sea, and I'm going to go pray. I'll see you on the other side. The Garden of Gethsemane, hours before he would go to the cross, what do we find him doing? We find him praying. We find him coming back to the three disciples that were there the first time, and he had left them there, watch and pray, right? And he comes back, and they're having a tough time. They're sleeping. Wakes them up, and he says, come on, guys, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He goes back to praying, and he comes back. They're sleeping again. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been tempted to sleep. I'm just saying, when we see that he, being the all-powerful Son of God, the Son of God who took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5 to 10, who knows how many thousand people, he took time to pray. The Son of God who walked across the sea and did not fall in it. The Son of God who turned water into wine. The Son of God who did all these miracles. A leper would be healed and a blind man would be healed and raising up the girl from the dead. If he needed to pray and he prayed, how much more do we as finite people need prayer? We do. We need prayer so that we can live our life to bring him glory. We need prayer so that we can serve him effectively. You know, serving God is not just doing a labor for God. We need to pray first because we need God's grace in the service. We need God's grace in whatever it is. Fill in the blank. It's not just the preaching and the teaching. It's every little piece and part that comes along with it. We need to say, God, I'm about to serve you in this way. God, it's Sunday. I'm going to church. I'm going to, obviously, God, I need you to speak to me today. But God, I want to serve you in some way today. God, help me in whatever way I can serve you. Prayer, bathing everything we do in prayer. Before we leave in the car, settle down the little ones and say, okay, we're going to pray right now. We're about to leave for church. We're going to pray. And have a word of prayer and ask God to bless the journey, keep us safe, and God prepare us for what we're about to hear. Have a word of prayer. Be people of prayer because the Lord is at hand. I've said this before. I'm not saying it to be a guilt trip. Please, that is not my point. But it has been said, and it's true. The most least attended, that's a bad grammar, the least attended meeting in the church is always the prayer meeting. And we just had one last Tuesday. Now, I know not everybody can come. I'm not trying to say you were bad because you weren't there if you weren't there. That's not what I'm saying, or we were good if we were there. I'm just saying the numbers are just there. That was the least attended meeting of Anchor Baptist Church in that week, was the prayer meeting. That's why I'm saying, maybe that's not a good time. Come Saturday morning, if you can come, even once a month, come at 10 a.m. Why? It's a time to pray. I don't know how it all works. I just know it works because God says to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's a great verse to use for memorization time. It's only 3 words. Slightly longer than Jesus wept. But we need to pray. It's very, very important. Before seeking help from anyone else, here's the thought that I wrote down. Before seeking help from anyone else, seek it from God. Pastor, that's why you're here. Sure. But don't come to me first. Go to God. Go to God. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He has everything. Yes, Yes, this is what the under-shepherd said. I'm not saying don't talk to the pastor. I'm saying before you go to the pastor, go to God. What do you need? Go to God. Then go to somebody else. Are you sick? Don't go to the doctor first. Pray first. I mean it. We're so programmed that when something happens, we immediately do the human thing. Don't do the human thing. Do the spiritual thing. And the spiritual thing is pray. I don't know what to do about this. Pray. I don't know whether to take this job. Pray. You know, pray, pray, pray. You can't pray too much. I want to pray more. I listened to a preaching this week from New Jersey, and the man preached from the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's model prayer. Great message. He's a pastor in Maine, of all places. Maine is supposedly the graveyard for churches. God has allowed this gentleman, his name is Todd Bell, Pastor Todd Bell. He's, look him up. He's, oh my goodness, and just buckle up for safety. He doesn't stop from the minute he starts until he's done. He's not originally from Maine. You'll figure that out real quick. But God has blessed him in a tremendous way. But he was preaching on the model prayer and how we have to enter, we need to enter into the secret place. Find that in the Word of God. Pray. God wants to answer, but we have to ask. You know, sometimes we have to sit there and say, God, I don't even know how to ask. But you know what? God knows our hearts. God even knows what we don't even know how to say. That's what the Holy Spirit, it can take those words and give them to God on our behalf. The Lord is at hand. Be prayerful. Serving God should never be mechanical. Serving God should always be prayerful. Okay, here's the second one. Let's go to James 5. James 5. We were going to be in James 5 this morning, but God's reversed us on that one. We'll see if we can get there next week. 1-6. Pray for me on that. And do seriously, pray for that every week, that I would be led by the Spirit in the preaching time, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever. I don't want to just go through it like a mechanical thing either, right? I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I like preaching through the books of the Bible. I think it's something we should do. But if God says do something different, do something different. And I want to be led by the Spirit, not by a program. And I hope you live that way too. Yes, we need to be doing things and schedule things, but don't overschedule for God, right? Let's see what James 5:7 says. What are the first two words of James 5:7? Be patient. Oh, boy. I think we'll go to the third point. Let's skip this one. I'm just kidding. Be patient. It's more to it than just be patient. Let's keep reading. Therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the who? The Lord. Be patient. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Right? The farmer doesn't go out there and plant the garden and the next day go out there and say, where's the harvest? Never happens that way. So God's giving us a beautiful illustration. Verse 7 says, and hath how much patience? Long patience. You ever read that verse? That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Not just patience, but long patience. Until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, here it is, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Secondly, the Lord is at hand, therefore, be patient. Be patient. But what is this patience really talking about? It's not necessarily talking about simply the patience that we need, yes, but it's being patient regarding God's work. We cannot manufacture God's work. We cannot manufacture people getting saved. We cannot manufacture changed lives. But what is he saying here? Who is he talking about? He's talking about the husbandman. He's talking about the gardener. He's talking about you and me, you and I. We are this person. We are the husbandman. We are the gardener, if you will. We are the one who takes the, as it says there, he takes and waiteth for the precious fruit and hath long patience for it. Be also patient. In other words, it's not our job to bring in the harvest, but it's our job to plant the seed. It's our job to sow the fields. It's our job to water the seed. Let's go back to our text, Philippians chapter number 4. God is in charge of the harvest. We have the responsibility of planting. First Thessalonians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice, the peace of God. We wrote about the peace with God this morning in the devotional. You cannot have the peace of God unless you have peace with God. You can't go to part two. This is part two. Part one is peace with God. That only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to have peace. Then, once we have that peace with God, now he wants us to give us this daily peace of God. Okay? Peace of God basically is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That comes after we get saved. The only way we have peace with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've been saved, praise God, you have peace with God. But then it doesn't stop there. Because we are saved does not mean we are bulletproof or immune to life's challenging times. That's when we need the peace of God. Peace of God. This is what Paul is talking about here. When we bring all of our requests to God, First Peter 5:7, I think it is. When we cast all our care on him, for he careth for us. This is when we have the peace of God. This is when we say, okay, God, I'm going to be patient. This is in your hands, not mine. This is a daily thing. This is a multiple times a day. I'm not sure what it is. Each time it might be different. But because the Lord is at hand, we can be patient. Be patient in our Christian labors, in hardship, in sorrow, in the differences with others. Be patient. The Lord is at hand. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have passed away, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no what? No hope. Without Christ, there's no hope, but because we are saved, we have the blessed hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, amen. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We talked about that day. We talked about it when Jesus is going to come. He's going to bring all the saints back with him. He's not going to come down to the earth, remember? He's going to come in the clouds first, and then we're going to go up with him. Dead in Christ rise first. Then we go up if we're still alive, God willing. That'll be us. But we might be in the first group. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, verse 15, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Be patient. The Lord is soon returning. Be patient. God is good, regardless. Satan is bad. Satan is evil. God is faithful. God is good. Be patient. This is no time to worry. I know there's things that could cause it, but give those things to the Lord. That's what Paul said to do. Take those things to the Lord. Don't worry about them. Pray about them. Let's go back to James 5. I know we're doing a lot of turning tonight. It's a blessing the way that these are tied together for us. James 5, verse 9. Praise the Lord. Grudge not, 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. We're going to talk more about these on Sunday morning at some point. We're going to get to the verse 11. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. There it is, of patience. We can't say, well, you know what, I'm the only one. No, everybody's been down different roads, similar, same. It's not just you and me. Don't listen to the enemy. The enemy will make you think God is the only one that's ever had you be this problem. Look, a lot of people have had the same problem I've had and you've had. God was faithful to the prophets. God was faithful to Stephen, even though they were stoning him to death. God will always be faithful. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of who? Job. Yeah. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Wow. We have seen the patience of Job. We've seen the endurance. We've seen the suffering. And there are people all through the pages of this book, and there's all through the pages of church history who have endured suffering. They were patient. That yes, maybe they went out by the stake, meaning they were killed for their faith. God gave them the grace to go through that. Their last breath here was their first breath in heaven. God makes all things right. People, by the way, people have given their lives so that you and I can have a Bible. Literally, given their lives. Because the church, way back in the day, and this isn't a time for church history, but they wanted the Bible destroyed because people started reading the Bible and not listening to the guy up there that was telling them a bunch of lies. No, you don't need the Bible. Just come listen to me. That's not how we do it here. Open the Bible. Let God's word speak to you every day. It's powerful. But we learn from this book that God is good and he's faithful. And we need to be, because he's coming soon, be patient. Lastly, let me get to this last one. The Lord is at hand, therefore be pure. Be prayerful. Be patient, be pure. Okay, we're going to look at several passages. So let your fingers move fast. 1 John chapter 3. The Lord is at hand. We need to live a life pleasing to God. We need to live a life of purity. We don't live purely to be saved. That's not how it works. But because we are saved, we should desire to live purely for his glory. Look at 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I love this. But we know that when he shall appear, who's the he? Jesus Christ. When Christ shall appear, notice what he says, we shall be like him. Amen to that. I'm looking forward to that day. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice. But notice verse 3. And every man that hath this hope. Do you have that hope? In verse 2. Do you have that hope tonight? Are you saved? If you have that hope, say amen. Amen. If you have that hope, look what John says. This is how we should be living. Every man that hath this hope, I have that hope, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What is John saying? He's saying, we know one day we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If you have that hope, let's start living now like we're already like him. Who's pure? Christ. He never sinned one time. Let's start living like we're pure now. Now, we can't be fully that way. It's impossible. We have a flesh. But we can start by the grace of God, asking God, God, I want to make sure what in my life is not pure. What in my life needs to go? What in my life? Am I thinking about something? Am I doing something? What is there in my life that is not pure? Yes, when we see him, we shall be like him, which means everything's going to be pure. You can't be in the presence of Christ and not be pure. So those that are saved, that's what's coming. And John is saying, if this is your hope, don't wait till then. Start living the pure life now. What a great truth. What a convicting truth. Turn over to Titus, this little three-chapter book. Titus chapter number 2. It's after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, denying them. If you have anything in your life that is labeled as God would label it ungodly, we've got to deny that. We've got to get rid of that. Worldly lusts, worldly desires. We've got to die to self, right? Paul said, I die daily. I think he was dying to whatever Paul wanted. I've got to die daily to what Ben wants, because what Ben wants is not, my flesh does not want what this wants me to do. My flesh wants to do whatever I want to do. My flesh wants to react instead of respond. My flesh wants me to covet and not instead of being thankful. Am I the only one with a flesh like that? You know? Yeah, okay, two of it now. I know we're all there. Our flesh is nothing good in it. This is what God's word says. But we don't have to say, well, I have my flesh, so I'm just going to live this way. No, that's not what Paul is saying either. That's not what he's writing here. He's saying, deny them. I remember in basketball, part of defense, we used to do these deny drills. And you were denying, you were the man that you were guarding, you were to deny him the ball. And if he got the ball, there was one drill that we used to do that if the guy got the ball, we had to run laps. Yeah, my dad was my coach. So he was just here for the anniversary. You can thank him next time he comes. I was in a little better shape back then. Of course, I was only 17. But anyway, and so deny him. And so you couldn't foul either. You had to play good defense, and there's techniques there. I can't even demonstrate for you tonight. But anyway, just use your imagination. And you would deny him the ball. It's exactly what Paul is saying. Deny what the enemy wants for your life. Deny the worldly influence. And that means you've got to say no to some people maybe. You've got to say no to some maybe television or movie or this or that. You've got to deny. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. Because the Lord is at hand, I want to live pure. By the way, it's not a sacrifice to live pure. It's a privilege that God deserves, me living pure. And we need God's help. You can't do it on your own. Don't try to do it on your own. You've got to seek the Holy Spirit's help. But it is possible to live pure in this wicked world because the Holy Spirit's in you if you're saved. Okay, let's keep going. I'm running out of time. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly where? What's it say? in this present world. So that's for you and me today. It was good for Titus. It's good for us. Looking for that blessed what? Hope. While we're looking, we should be looking in purity. These just go right together. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Let's go to 2 Peter. Turn back to the right, just a couple of pages. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is at hand, therefore be pure. Help your kids with this. Pray for your children. Guide them, teach them. I heard an amazing message before church tonight from Emma's boss, actually. He preached tonight at Temple Baptist Church, and he did an amazing job. His name is Mr. Mike Fox. He's the leader of the school. And he just shoots it straighter than you would like. It'd be hard, maybe, but anyway, he was talking about how, as parents, it's our responsibility, first and foremost, to educate our children. And he wasn't talking simply about reading, writing, and arithmetic. He was talking about educating them right here with this book. Boy, keep pouring the Word of God into your children. You say, it's not bringing anything. It will. God's Word never returns void. Even if they might be away, my brother was away from God for 10 years. 10 years. Should have died at least once because of how he was living. And today he's married, has 4 beautiful kids. I'm not saying that makes him successful, but he has a farm. He loves the Lord. His wife loves the Lord. But he was a long way from God for a decade. My mother never stopped praying. I believe the prayers of my mother and my dad too, I'm sure. But it may come to that at some point. It might happen. I'm not saying don't think about that, but don't give up. The Word of God is in there. 1 Peter 3:11. Or excuse me, 2 Peter 3:11. Sorry. Stay with the program here. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. If you look up at verse 10, it talks about the thief in the night. So the context is the return of Christ. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all what? Holy conversation. You know what conversation is there? Lifestyle. It's not talking about chitter chatter, although that's part of it. The way we live, because we know this is, we're going to be with him. The Lord is at hand. He says, live in holy conversation and godliness. Wow, that's the goal. Pure in heart, pure in mind, pure in speech. I'm challenging me tonight. I'm challenging you tonight. If we name the name of Christ to a new place of separation and dedication of life. May God help us to live every day with God's help and grace, dedicated to God. Think of that word, dedicated. Right? You know, there's a big difference when I'm not dedicated to the project or if I am dedicated. I need God's help. I need God's grace to be dedicated, but I also have to yield my will. I have a choice, and so do you, to not be dedicated. To not be a disciple and just coast. I don't want to coast, right? I want to press on. I want to pray more. I want to be more pure in everything in my life. I want to be more patient. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. You know what? I may die before the Lord returns. That's okay. Be dedicated. Be dedicated until your dying breath. Because believe me, in the end, you're not gonna be regretting being dedicated to God. I shouldn't have dedicated so much time to God. Nobody's ever gonna say that. I don't know how it's all gonna be. I know there's gonna be tears post judgment seat of Christ. Maybe because I'm gonna cry because I wasn't dedicated enough. And I'm going to remember it. I don't know. I'm not trying to read into the Bible too much. But there is going to be tears because they're going to be wiped away. Praise the Lord. But I say, let's limit that crying. Let's cry here. In other words, cry out to God here. Let's use the altar. Let's come hungry to church. When we open our Bible tomorrow morning, if that's when you do your Bible reading, come thirsty. Well, I've already heard about the Ethiopian eunuch pastor 5 times. I know nobody had that attitude, but that's just where God took us this morning. A life of dedication. Young people, this is the best time for you to dedicate your life to Christ. All things being equal, you have a lot longer than I do. I'm not going to live this many years again. I'm not going to make it to 106, okay? It's not going to happen. All things being equal, young people here tonight, young adults here tonight, there's no time than the present, better time than the present, than to say, I want to live my life for the Lord. What does that look like? I don't know. I just know this. Every day is a new opportunity to bring honor and glory to God. Every day is an opportunity to serve the King of Kings. It'll look different for you than it looks for me, but that's okay. The ultimate joy is to pillow our head at night knowing, God, you are so good. God, I'm tired, but you're good. God, my back hurts, but you're good. I don't know what yours is. I'm not saying my back hurts. Thankfully, that's one thing. Please, I have enough. You know, I'm just kidding. God, there's a lot going on in my family, God, but I'm not going to worry about it. God, I've witnessed to that family member 5 times. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to pray for them more. God, thank you for helping me clean up my life. God, I want to live a pure life. Not holier than thou. We don't need that. But what we do need is purity. Look, God is holy. Don't shy away from speaking about living holy lives. We should probably speak more about that. Because the God we pray to is a thrice holy God. We don't want the world coming into the church. I don't want the world coming into my life. God, if there's things that I need to work on, thank you, God, for your patience in my life. Let's go to John 3 as we finish this series. In conclusion, Brother Kevin, I'm going to use that a few times for Brother Kevin. If you weren't here this morning, you'll have to ask him about it. Great testimony, Brother Kevin. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. John 3. When you hear John 3, I think probably everybody in the room thinks of at least one verse. Right? John 3:16. We're not reading that one, but we're right below it, okay? Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Hallelujah. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The way of salvation is clear. The way of salvation is simple. Believe or believe not. I didn't set the rules. I didn't make the rules. God did. God makes it very clear. It's either by my Son or you don't have eternal life. If you come by the way of my Son, then you're not condemned. Praise the Lord for that. And Romans 8:1 is a great verse as well. There are therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But if we're not in Christ Jesus, that means we are condemned. Don't leave this life without the peace with God. It only comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful that I'm confident because of this book, the King is coming. Get ready. Be prayerful. Be patient. And with the help and grace of God, be pure. Let's pray.